We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Before Midnight is the third film in a trilogy by director Richard Linklater. It depicts the culmination of a relationship between Jesse and Celine, also known as Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. The tone of the movie stands in contrast to its idyllic Greek setting. Lake Effect film contributor Dave Lurson spoke with Dan Harmon and offered his thoughts on the latest installment in the series.
Jesse and Celine have been the favorite heartthrobs of the smart set since their 1994 youthful romp in Vienna, Before Sunrise. They returned in 2004 for a romantic day in Paris in Before Sunset. Wrapping this trilogy in Greece with Before Midnight, director Richard Linklater brings Jesse, played by Ethan Hawke, and Celine, by Julie Delpy, to a midlife crisis crossroads.
So I have a feeling we're going to disagree about this movie because I thought it was too long. And frankly, it's just what makes it more than just another movie about people's marital problems?
Well, several things, I think. It certainly is not the only trilogy ever filmed. It's not the only movie that takes place within one day that's ever been filmed. But here you have the development of two people over an 18-year period of time with three films widely separated. And you can get a sense, almost as if in real time, of the development of the characters. I think that that's interesting. I think that the dialogue in Before Midnight is wonderful because it seems very natural, intelligent, smart, yet unaffected. It gives off the appearance of being unscripted, even though there may have been some spontaneous moments in there, but they were following a plan. It wasn't just throw the two of them out there and let the cameras roll.
So you didn't think that it was a little self-indulgent? Maybe the characters were a little self-indulgent?
Well, yes. The characters are a little bit self-indulgent, both of them, but I think that that would be the point. I mean, it would be like saying, you know, a movie with an evil character is an evil movie because there's an evil character in there, right?
I guess my biggest complaint, and I do have some positive things to say about the movie, but my largest complaint is I didn't really understand the point of or what we're supposed to get out of their problems they were having with each other. I was waiting for a larger point to develop during the movie, and to me, it never really did.
Well, people can grow apart. It's a particular problem, maybe a more acute problem in our society today than it would have been 50 years ago and before that time. People have more time. People have more options. People have more things they can do and be interested in, become fascinated with. And that's part of the problem with this couple. They're beginning to grow apart. Then there's the other thing, which I think has been eternal, that there are little disagreements, little cracks in relationships that people paper over, that you're in denial over, you don't want to address it, it doesn't seem really important enough to bring up. But if something that you could call a crisis or a crossroads moment occurs, many of these things begin to come to the surface, and all of a sudden, here you have, what about that time when you, you know, left me, you know, stranded at the restaurant or whatever the complaint is, or you're not very good in bed. You know, that was one of the things in this movie that Ethan Hawke character apparently thinks more of himself in that way than the Julie Delpy character does. Not that it bothered her for all these years, but now that they're having an argument, why not bring that up? I think that's very realistic.
And that would be my backhanded compliment, if you will, is that the arguing seemed very real. It seemed like a natural way that people argue when they're in couples. So I'm wondering if how much of that was ad lib and how much of it was completely scripted.
I don't know. I think it's a mixture of the two. Richard Linklater has worked certainly with those two in these three movies. He's worked with Ethan Hawke in other situations, and I think that there is a very good rapport between director and cast here that allows for the possibility of working from a script but creatively improvising within that.
Okay, now for some positive comments, for me anyway. I thought some movies are, I think, made by their scenery, and I thought they really took advantage of the setting and not just that it was there, because you can set a movie somewhere and make it look terrible, but they set it in Greece, and it was a beautiful movie to watch.
Well, it's a beautiful movie to watch. All three of these movies were set in beautiful places. The Greek setting is interesting because there's something going on just below the surface here. This movie has to do with the influence of the past on the present in the relationship with these people, but they are surrounded by a landscape in which the past influences the present. There are ruins from one era or another. There's a sense of tradition encountering the modern world. This provides, I think, a very interesting background for the problems these two characters are facing.
So like the black and white of the beautiful setting, but yet there are some problems of Bruin, so it's not quite what you're used to seeing when you see vacation movies in Greece.
Well, Trouble in Paradise, I mean, that's an age-old theme, I guess, as well. And people plan these beautiful vacations. Tuscany was big a few years ago. Maybe Greece will replace it now. And, well, fine, you know, you're going to a beautiful place. You're getting away from it all, but really you're not. You are carrying yourself with you. The problems that you have with whatever partner you may be traveling with, if you have problems, if they as individuals have problems, you're not escaping them. You're not leaving them behind like the suitcase that you didn't pack and bring with you. And that, I think, is another theme of this film.
Something else I really actually did like was just some of the filmmaking aspects of it. One of the first scenes is a very long shot of them in the car. And I was actually watching to see how much of that is edited away and how much of it was truly a super long, multi-minute scene where the actors had to stay in character the entire time. There's no cutaways when they're driving back from the airport in the beginning.
It's a triumph of good acting. But this movie, though, it's a very conversational movie. I mean, you could say that it's a series of long conversations. But Linklater is also a very visual director, the way he keeps the story moving along. A boring director would have bogged down with this material or just been, you know, two people talking or a group of people talking in some cases. But visually, and it's very subtle, Linklater makes very good use of the whole idea that movies are actually moving.
Just a random thought I had while watching it. I thought it's very much like a Woody Allen movie, and it's pacing and the focus on relationships and including arguing. So I thought, does he have any kind of homage to Woody Allen or just the same genre?
You can't really escape thinking a little bit about Woody Allen with this film. Richard Linklater and, in fact, Ethan Hawke, too, are very characteristic of something we don't talk about as much. Generation X, now we're on to the millennials, I guess, talk about Gen X as much, but they were very characteristic in their early films. Linklater's slacker and Dazed and Confused, but he also refuses to be easily pigeonholed as a director. When you begin to look at his resume, he's done a rather incredible number of different kinds of films. And I think that of all the people who are touted as the great Generation X voices of the 1990s and so on, he may be the one that in years to come people will look back on as being the great talent to emerge from film during that time.
Well, I guess overall you liked this movie. Do you have anything that you thought could have been done better?
Not particularly better, but I would want to make this point that you do not need to have seen the other two films to make sense of Before Midnight. Naturally, you know, if you have, you can think back and connect this thing with that thing. But again, the proficiency of Richard Linklater as a director and co-writer of this project means that you can have missed the first two-thirds of the trilogy and just pick it up right away. It doesn't require any advanced knowledge of who the characters are.
Was this a film that showed well at a film festival? I'm not sure if this is one that really got its notoriety from a major film festival.
Well, it worked the film festival circuit a little bit, I believe. You know, it works its way from the big coastal markets into Milwaukee and from there hopefully into other places. So it's following the usual pathway for interesting, more important, significant, independent movies.
Okay, thanks for coming in, Dave.
Thank you.
Lake Effect contributor Dave Larson is the arts and entertainment editor at the Shepherd Express Weekly and the author of its I Hate Hollywood blog. He spoke with Dan Harmon. And that's all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next.